then somebody can.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. It is indeed good for me to be able to be back with you after being gone three of the last four Sundays. We welcome you to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside pew aisle and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. We also always encourage you to wear your name tags on Sunday morning so that we may meet and greet one another and put names and faces together. Please join us for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room after the worship service this morning, where you may further be with all of us who are gathered here in community. We are indeed richly blessed this morning to have as our guest preacher Reverend Alonzo Johnson, the Mission Associate for the Presbyterian Peacemaking Program at the Presbyterian Center in Louisville. Some of us had the chance to experience him yesterday in worship and in the open space conversations, and I know we are in for good stuff. So I'm glad you're here to take advantage of this. opportunity to hear our denomination coming out to us. We were offered the opportunity to have him come to our church specifically, and we are truly blessed. Please note the announcements that you'll find in the bulletin this morning of the activities that are happening this week. There are in addition to the regular weekly items that we have going forward, I'd like to draw your attention to that I still have tickets for the Everett Theater Freedom Project performance at Trinity, which is a really powerful artistic engagement and challenge to look at the issues around mass incarceration, and that's Friday night. There's already 9 of us going, but I have more tickets and I can get more, so please let me know. We'll be carpooling from the church at 7, or you can go yourself. We can work it in all ways, but let me know, and don't let cost be a barrier at all. Next Sunday is Pentecost already again, and we will be recognizing our college graduates that Sunday, those who have been worshiping with us in our college fellowship, and you are reminded, if you haven't already gotten your picture taken by Lee Vanderbond, he's here with his camera today, and we need your bios for that insert that we put together. There will also be a congregational meeting after worship to elect our new officers, and thanks to those who have already agreed to serve and those who are contemplating that as we move forward. The Camp Street Food Pantry sign-up is on the Mission Bulletin Board. If you would like to volunteer for our monthly commitment or just this time only, you are welcome to join us. If you have any questions about it, you can talk to Julie Baldwin. Wave your hand, Julie, or me about the logistics of that, but we would love to have your help as well. Are there other announcements we want to highlight this morning? Julie Baldwin.
About all this, and I hope Steve has some comment, but about all this corruption that's going on in our state, and again, I have to plug our local in-house person who's on the front page with his column again, and there he is. I'm not even going to tell you his name, because if you don't know Fitzpatrick by now, so go out there and get a journal today. My golly.
It is about the Rhode Island Civic Crown Orchestra has its final concert of its season next Saturday night at 7:30 at the Cathedral of St. Peter's and Paul's. A beautiful Benjamin Britten work based on the Good Samaritan story, and then the Dorifle Requiem, which is, if you love lush choral orchestral music, there's nothing more lush than the Dorifle Requiem. So I've got tickets at $20 a pit pop. Andrew may have some. I've got them in my pocket. So see me after church. No corruption.
Good morning. Goodwill Industries is having a raffle to raise funds to support its job training program. The raffle is on the 27th of May. The first prize is $1,000 or 6 nights at a condominium in Orlando, Florida. The second prize is $500. And the third prize is a laptop. The fundraiser is to raise money for supporting job training programs for people who have disabilities or other significant impairments to entering the workforce. I have 20 tickets in my pocketbook. They are $10 for one ticket and $25 for 3 tickets. Thank you.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship. As the Creator and Savior are one, may we all be one, so that the world will see Christ. May we all be one, so that the nations will know the love of God for them. May we all be one. As the body of Christ for the sake of the world, may we all be one. Let us worship God. Let us join in singing our opening hymn, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers, number 15 in the large hymnal. God sent Jesus into the world that the world might be saved for God, out of sin and destruction, that all may be made whole in God's perfect shalom. So let us pray our confessions, first in silence, then praying together as it is written in our bulletin this morning. Let us pray. Continuing in prayer, God of everlasting life, we confess that we continue in the ways of death. You have set us free to serve you, but we serve our own interests. You have delivered us from captivity, but we remain captive to our fear. Forgive us, God of grace. Pour out your loving kindness upon this whole family of believers so that we may rejoice in our redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. God so loved the world that God sent God's only Son that the world might be saved through him. Let us rejoice in this good news as we continue as an Easter people and sing our response. Alleluia. Sing to Jesus, verse 3.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day. Julianne of Norwich, a early church mystic and sister in the faith, offers these words. As truly as God is our Father, so just as truly God is our Mother. For our Father, God Almighty, for in our Father, God Almighty, we have our being. In our merciful Mother, we are remade and restored. Our fragmented lives are knit together and made perfect. And by giving and yielding of ourselves through grace to the Holy Spirit, we only then made whole. I am grateful for our sister's words on this Mother's Day, and I offer up this prayer. Holy God, we gather in your presence to give you thanks and to celebrate the gift of your love, a love that supports us, nurtures, and challenges us in the ways that strengthen and transform us anew. We offer you praise and thanksgiving for your unfailing presence in our lives and all the blessings that you give so generously. On this day, O God, we celebrate Mother's Day. We give thanks for the mothers all over this, your world. We give thanks for all of those who have nurtured and cared for us, remembering mothers of all forms, birth mothers, adoptive mothers, surrogate mothers, aunts, grandmothers, teachers, neighbors, all of the women who have shared their life and their faith with us. We pray, God of compassion, for those mothers who have been hurt or disillusioned or disappointed by their role as a mother. We pray this day for those who have been denied a long desired for opportunity to be mothers. And for those whose years of mother were cut short by the loss of their children, we pray this day for those for whom Mother's Day is a day of mourning, for mothers who have passed, for relationships that are broken. God, we are grateful that on this day we come to you, our perfect nurturer, to celebrate the mothers and those who have mothered us by lifting up in name those sisters in our community. For Dolores, for Valerie, for the mothers whose names we lift up in word and in spirit, we give you thanks this day. For the ability to stop and share and celebrate the gifts of those who see us and love us, we say thanks this day. Holy Mother and Father of us all, touch us by your healing peace and continue to hold us in your gentle embrace, that we may walk in the ways that bring dignity, justice, and peace in every corner of this your world. This we pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our young worshipers come forward. you all get settled and we'll do the pastoral prayers. We've come to a time in our service in which we are able to lift up together our joys and our concerns in this life together. Is there someone who'd like to run the microphone today? Are there any prayer concerns here in the congregation?
I have a joy. I have a new niece. Her name is Beatrice Nicole, and she was born this week, and everybody's happy. So thanks be to God.
I'd like to give praise for my mother's presence here today for Mother's Day from Pennsylvania, Donna, and also like continued prayers for our friend Sam and in his cancer treatment. And also we need prayers for my mother-in-law's brother, my our Uncle Frank, Frank Federighi. He is having problems with pancreatitis and suspected pancreatic cancer. So he's kind of awaiting a diagnosis and undergoing treatment. He's at Oak Hill Rehab Center now, and hopefully they'll figure something out.
Tuesday was my birthday, and I'm now 12.
It seems almost impossible that 2 years ago I came to Rhode Island to be with Dan, Julia, and Sam to welcome Sylvie Rose. Sadly and happily, I'm going to be transitioning back to Virginia the 1st of June. In a couple of weeks, my mom will be 93, and I feel drawn to be closer to her. She needs some care and attention. So I will be back to visit on a regular basis, so I will see you. But I just want to thank you for welcoming me into this church family and for all the love and prayers and support that you've given our family. Thank you.
I'd like to again say thank you for the prayers and the support for my son's family as his two daughters are continuing to mend from the head-on crash that they were part of passively because neither was the driver, thank goodness. There were no deaths from that injury. The youngest granddaughter had a 3-hour surgery at Beth Israel Deaconess this week. And so she's going into her Victorian, poor me, so we could use prayers for some joy and some healing.
Our family has a prayer of joy. Marianne had a birthday last week.
Woo! I'd like continued prayers for my nephew, Cliff. He is in a 30-day rehab center in Kansas City for alcohol addiction, and I'll be there this week to visit with him.
Those of you who remember Tom Evans, who moved to Warwick, Tom is having surgery on Tuesday for some pretty major back problems, which is why he has not been with us, and he would like our prayers for that this week as well. Let us pray together. Into this world you came, O God, born of that first disciple Mary, and lived among your people, all of the world created in your image. We give thanks for that truth. And for your passion, and for the way that you continue through the gift of the Spirit to bring life and hope out of pain, injustice, and despair, even when we can scarcely form the prayers. We pray to you today in that spirit for a world torn by violence and destruction, humanly wrought and beyond human control, for your power to rain down to quell the fires that run deep in so many directions. We pray for those far from home, for the refugees in our midst, for words that heal and bind up the brokenhearted, set the captives free in all domains of life. Help us to be disciples as you would have us be in this your world. We pray this day, O God, for those who are ill in body, mind, and spirit, for those named and unnamed, for your healing grace and power, for Tom, for Sam, for Uncle Frank, for CJ's granddaughters. We give thanks, O God, for signs of your healing in our midst. We remember those who grieve, for those who may be alone or lonely this Mother's Day, for losses recent and long ago. We pray, O God, for the transition points of life, for those in the midst of recovery and prison. We give thanks for the time we've had with Lucy in her living up here and pray for her transition home to Virginia, closer to her mother. We give thanks for Tammy Murray and her ministry here in our midst as she moves Friday to North Carolina to be closer to April. And for Cliff in these days of recovery and Cheryl as she travels there. We give thanks, O God, for the graces of life, for blessings of transformation, for hope and joy in this day, for the way you have gifted us with the presence of our preacher, Reverend Johnson, this day through the blessing of our presbytery life together as we gathered yesterday, for the work of Nancy Collins in Zambia as I saw her this week at the ZZM Mission Network meetings, and as she prepares to return to Zambia after a visit to Charles on Friday. We pray in thanksgiving for the arrival of Beatrice Nicole, for mothers with us this morning in Donna, for Elliot's 12th birthday and Marianne's birthday as well. Remind us ever, O God, that it is by your power that we live, move, and have our being. This we pray as our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Don't go. I was just so excited I called you up early. Don't leave me. How's everybody doing? I am so excited for today. Anyone know what makes today pretty special? There's a couple things that make it pretty special. Yes.
The concert and Mother's Day?
It's a concert and it's Mother's Day.
Wait, what day is it? It's May 8th only happens once a year.
There we go. May 8th only happens once a year. Well played.
Today's my stuffed animals.
That's true too. Today, one of the things I want to focus in on is it being Mother's Day. Anybody excited that it's Mother's Day?
Yes.
What is the best part of any of the mommies that you can think of? Like, what do you love about a mom or somebody who mothers and takes care of you? Can you think of somebody in your head? First of all, you have somebody in your head that you can think of, yes? Yeah? Somebody's there? Raise your hand if you got somebody in your head that you can think of. Somebody who you like to celebrate on Mother's Day. Okay, what's something you are super grateful about that person? Can you think of something that you love about them or you're grateful for?
Go ahead. My mommy likes to hug me.
I do, I like to hug you, that's true. Can you think of something?
My mommy.
Uh-huh. You love your mommy. Yes, mommies are amazing. Can you think of something you love about mommy, Lucy?
Because she's special to me.
She's special to you. Who here has somebody that they like to celebrate on Mother's Day? You know, one of the gifts is that God gives us these people to love us and to see us. What are some of the things that mommies can do for us, or people who mother us can do for us? What's something they do?
They can help us.
They can help us. What else?
They can take care of you.
You can take care of you, like when you're like when you're sick or not feeling too good.
My mom gives us most of the meals we eat.
Yeah, so your mom helps to make sure you have the food that you need. What else is something that a mother or someone who mothers us might do?
Keep you warm.
Keep you warm. Snuggles are really good at keeping us warm, yeah? But also hugs. What else?
Buy you stuff to play with.
Buy you stuff to play with. Mommies are pretty good at doing things like that. And some of us have aunts and and grandmas and...
Mom likes back rubs and foot rubs that I give her.
Ooh, so your mom appreciates when you give her back rubs and foot rubs. I am so with your mom on that. They are pretty awesome. How about you? Something you love about mommy?
My mom is a doctor.
Your mommy's a doctor. She takes care of people. Does she make people feel better? In lots of ways, that's true about your mama. Yes.
I like my grandma because she's nice.
Yeah, grandmas are awesome. Can I get a high five on that? I am such a fan of grandmas. They are just pretty extraordinary people. They're like moms that are moms. They're just like, it's mind-blowing. They literally are. Moms. Yes, baby. You love mama? Yeah. Yeah, you do. She's right there. She's so amazing. She's so close. God gives us moms and those people like aunts and teachers who take care of us and nurture us, and it's such a gift. We don't earn them. You can't earn a mom. How much would you pay for your mom if you could buy one? $1 billion is a good price for a going mom. $2,890 for your mom. Nice. How much? Go ahead, yell it out. A lot. Moms are priceless. They're pretty extraordinary. Yes, you have a very specific answer. Go.
Free.
You think? Because you wouldn't have enough, so that's why I'm going to clean that up for you. God gives us moms, and you know what? The best thing about them, their love is free. It flows out of them. God sends us all sorts of people to nurture us and take care of us. And just like God's love, we could never, ever, 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 ever earn it. It's all by grace. And it's all by gift. So we're going to give a little token of how much we appreciate the women and that are in our church. Can you all help me show them how much we appreciate them? Can you do something small for me to help me show them? Okay, I've got all these flowers. Can you find people to give them to? Can you help me with that? Okay. Here you go. Take a few.
Here
you go. There's a few. You take some. There's plenty. No worries. You're going to get plenty. There are plenty of flowers. That's okay. Start with those three and you can come back. Can you find people to give them to? Can you find... There's more. There's plenty. Whole other race full. You just want one? I'll give a couple then you give them to someone else then. There you go, Sam. You want to pass them out? There you go. You're going to keep finding people to show appreciation to? Here you go, Chris.
Thank you.
Oops.
Got it?
Got it. Oh, thanks, Anna. Can I get those?
I need more.
There you go.
Don't let the children go yet.
All right, once you've passed all your flowers, come back up. Some folks might end up with two or three. That's all right. No judgment. Some gentlemen may end up with flowers. It's perfectly fine. You do a lot of mothering too. Amen? There are many men who do a lot of mothering and nurturing of their families and friends. We give thanks. Do you mind? Let us pray. Can you repeat after me? Dear God, we thank you for everyone who cares for us, who loves us, who challenges us, who teaches us, who cares for us, because you gave them to us. And we're grateful. Amen. Great job. Have fun downstairs.
Oh, they need to stay first for the music.
You know what? Let's have everyone go ahead and have a seat, because we've got some young ones who are going to lead the music. So let's stay. Everyone stay until the music's over. Come sit with me.
And just a word as they are coming up to play. I see Edward back there. Edward, please stand. You thought you were going to get away free, didn't you? I expected Edward to stand up and announce that this is his last Sunday with us after worshiping with us through his 4 years at Providence College. Edward is graduating next week when we're recognizing our graduates, so you'll be able to read all about him, but please take time this morning to greet him and wish him well as he moves on to his next steps.
Thank you.
Oh, that's a hard act to follow. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth, and we may find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And this morning's Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 5. And that can be found in your pew Bibles on page 644, also projected up here, or if you need a large print Bible, in page 838. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that I may live, or so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. And the New Testament lesson is in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. That's on page 75, 97 in the large print, and also projected. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Good morning. I have to admit that before I came here this morning, I was in trouble. Today is Mother's Day, and guess who's not home? But I'm gonna be all right. You know why? Because with the kids, now I have something to write in the car, right? And now I have something to give them. It is good and pleasant to be here with you this morning, and greetings from Louisville, and you can tell I'm from Louisville from my thick southern accent, right? I'm going to open this sermon with a story about a zoo that was facing budget cuts. There was a zoo that was facing budget cuts, and they said to one of the employees, look, you know times are hard, right? So we need you to dress up like the monkey and be in the cage. This is just the way it is. You have to do it. So the employee, you know, he's too much dignity, but you know, gotta get paid, right? So he dresses up like a monkey. So the zoo opens, and there's the employee dressing like a monkey and doing a really good, wonderful job being a monkey, right? Jumping up and down, and he's really fantastic. And people are like, that monkey is incredible. So he begins, he sees that people are really receptive to how he's moving. And so he climbs on top of the cage, and people have never seen such an incredible monkey. They're like, look at this monkey. It's really talented. And the monkey climbs on top of the cage and begins to make noise, and everybody's really excited. And then the monkey falls into the lion's cage. The monkey is now frightened, of course. So as the lion approaches, the monkey begins to cry out, help me! People are confused. They have no idea what's going on. And as the lion gets closer, the monkey says, please, somebody help me. And people are really confused about this. Finally, when the lion gets this close to the monkey's face, the lion says, hey, man, shut up, or we'll both lose our jobs. We are in this together. Whether you want to agree or not, we are in this life together, right? And the idea is when we are God's church, we suffer together, right? Called compassion, right? This parable, I love this parable because it's sometimes not about what we think it's about, right? Sometimes we think it's just about a rich man going to hell, right? So when I used to preach this in church, I waited for the hottest day of the summer and passed the baskets around about five times, right? But this is not what this story is about. This story is about the fact that in God, Lazarus and the rich man are in this together. There's a gap in this story that's really painful. The gap is that Lazarus suffers outside while the rich man eats a sumptuous feast, right? What's a sumptuous feast? Somebody tell me, what's sumptuous? Tell me, what's a sumptuous meal? Lobster, right, absolutely. Steak, right? Yeah, chicken. Not that microwavable meal you had sitting out on the table last night, right? Sumptuous meal, right? So the rich man gets to eat sumptuously, right? Wonderfully, right? Enjoying this food, sumptuous meal, right? Quick story about a sumptuous meal. Some years ago, my wife and I were in Spain. And of course, our Spanish between the both of us is awful. You know, I mean, we just, you know, and being in Spain, it was even worse because it was a different kind of Spanish. And we were eating in this restaurant, and the waiter came out and can see that we were not communicating well. And he said, I draw you pictures. Fantastic. He said, you point and I'll draw. So I saw this thing and I couldn't pronounce it, but it looked good. You ever see something? It just looks good. A lot of letters in it, has to be good, right? pointed at this thing, and he says, he draws his big fat snail. So I point at this other thing, and he's like, so he draws this big snake. Really well, incredible drawing. I said, yeah, that's what I want. And of course, when they bring it out, it's actually that size. And he slaps it in front of me and says, bon appetit, that's what you wanted, right? Sumptuous meal, big deal, right? Well, meanwhile, Lazarus is what? Outside, hungry, looking in, worried about where his next meal is going to come from, right? I think about this in light of things like budget cuts, where folks are not able to get the help they need, right? In Louisville, I think about this, in Louisville, Kentucky, actually in Kentucky, there's 30,000 children who are homeless. I think about this in the fact that there are people who are, that the homeless rate is rising and the hunger rate is rising in our country, right? So I think about this in the fact that where do we see Lazarus around us, right? See, this is a sermon about reconciliation, but not the kind you think. It's a sermon about who has and who doesn't have, right? It's a sermon about recognizing the Lazarus all around us, right? It's a sermon about understanding who God is in the gap when people do not have. See, the power of this story is that you have to see. And I didn't see that. Very important to see. And the great thing about seeing is the first step to doing, right? How powerful do you think seeing is? Like, I mean, seeing what's going on in our world, this kind of seeing, I'm going to tell you how powerful seeing is. My daughter is 16 years old, and she has something she calls boyfriend. I call them suitors, possible victims, but they're not boyfriends. But my favorite thing about seeing is that there's a kairos time, meaning that it's all in God. When you finally recognize something that needed to happen, and one day this boy came over to my house and I happened to be digging a ditch in the backyard. And we locked eyes. He said, your father's a pastor, right? And she said, yeah, so that means he can bury me too, right? Yes. So seeing is important. Being able to see and recognize what's going on around us is important. I think this story is also about the gaps in our own lives, right? The ways that we are hurting and the ways that we are in need in our churches and in our society, the need for reconciliation, right? We are all hurting. We all have things going on in our lives. We have things going on in our world, in our communities, right? So this is a story about us, too, right? And it's a story about the gaps between us and God, the gaps between the rich and the poor, the gaps between all people of different colors. It is a story about how do we get back together? How do we remember that we are in this together? Okay. So, this is going to be an interactive thing. I'm going to say, we are in this, and you're going to say, together. You ready? We are in this
together.
Very good. Keep that. And don't forget. I like what Jim Wallace of Sojourner says. He says, sometimes we like to believe that God is on our side, but the problem is we need to get on God's side, right? And when I read this story, I'm constantly thinking about what it means to be hungry, what it means not to have, what it means to have the poor struggling in our world, what it means for us to truly live reconciliation, because we can't live reconciliation if we are not first reconciled with Jesus, right? If we don't first get that relationship together, right, we can't get this relationship together.
Amen.
And getting that relationship together means being honest about who we are. Seeing the Lazarus is in our own lives, right? The things we try to ignore, right? The people who hurt, we try to ignore. Years ago, I was in the Walgreens, right? And I'm in line, and I can't remember what it was I was buying, but it was taking too long. Now, I had just moved to Louisville, Kentucky from New Jersey, so everything was taking too long. And I'm in this line at the Walgreens, and there's a woman at the door, older woman with a walker, and she's struggling, and she can't get through the door. She just can't get through the door, and she's having trouble, and people are just walking by, and I have somewhere to go. So, you know what I did? I was walking by, right? I'm not going to be late. I got to go. So as I'm walking by, she stops me with her walker. As excuse me, she goes, no, you are going to help me. And I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, you are not going to walk by like everybody in this store. You are going to help me, and this is what you are going to do. You are going to open this door, and you're going to carry my walker to your car, and you're going to drive me home. And I looked at the guy behind the counter. He says, hey, man, that's you, not me. And that's what I did. And it taught me several things. It taught me, one, that you know you can stay out of Walgreens, right? The second thing it taught me was that was Jesus. That in the gaps, we are called to be in the gaps. We are called to see the Lazaruses that suffer in the gaps, the people who need us. And so when I read this story, I'm constantly thinking about how important it is to recognize when God is calling us to do something powerful for people. An early church understanding of reconciliation was that people recognized that other people were being dehumanized. Whether it was by poverty, by war, by violence. That there was a recognition that reconciliation meant that we had to go and fill in the gap. I love how this story, Jesus has a way of telling stories to turn things around, right? Whereas, you notice, the person that's least fortunate has a name and the one who is powerful does not, right? And this comes in contrast with our world, right? Think of some big names. What big names do we know? Trump, that's right. What else? That's right, Obama, you know, Oprah, Rockefeller, right? Not too many Johnsons up there, right? You look like Johnson, right? Funny, because I looked up Alonzo Johnson, and half of them are in prison. That's not good. But right, big names. Power is a society we live in. Names, branding, power, right? So when I read this story, I love this story because the one who has no power is the one who has the biggest name. And the one who has the biggest name is the one who has something to teach us about what it means to be people of God. And this is that. Lazarus means God will help. And Lazarus means God will help when we work. Yeah, you remember.
I'm excited about this text too. And I'm excited about this text because it means that there is hope. And there's hope for folks who are living in the gaps, right? There's hope for folks who are desperate of God's care. There's hope for folks who know poverty all too well. There's hope for folks who know the hurt of divorce all too well. There's hope for folks who are struggling with mental illness all too well. There's hope for folks who know what it means to live in a world that is racist all too well. Some of the Lazaruses in our lives are the poor, right? The incarcerated, the mentally ill. 10 years I was a volunteer chaplain in prison. And we were having Bible study and George came. And I couldn't stand George. Now, you know, I love the Lord and all that, but I couldn't stand George. Because George would come to Bible study and he'd make trouble, you know. And George had come one day, and I guess he really worked my nerves. And he was arguing with me, and then finally he got up and said, I'm never coming to this Bible study anymore, chaplain. And he walked out, and I said, good, don't let the door hit you in the mind on the way.
I was very happy that George was no longer coming. And one of the other inmates came to me and said, Chaplain Johnson, can I talk to you for a second? I said, yeah. He says, I want you to reconsider your treatment of Brother George. And I said, no, George, you know George. You know, George, wait. And this inmate said to me, Alonzo, I will say this to you once and only once, and I want you to hear it carefully. You are the closest thing that any of us have ever had to a father in our lives. So you have to make it right with Brother George. Now, the power of this is that it's true. And I had to realize in that time that the gaps were such that I had to reach in that gap. I had to be open to the Lazarus that was coming because the Lazarus needed my attention. But I didn't want to see it. Where's Lazarus in your community? The Lazarus that's in the hospital waiting for you to visit, right? This is why reconciliation is so powerful and so special. Because in it, it is about transformation. It's about being in covenant with Christ. It's about recognizing and seeing that God is alive and well and in the faces of those who are hurting. It's also a great message to us. Whether we are like the rich man or Lazarus, we are never, ever too broken to receive God's love and care and healing. We are never too broken and too lost in the gap to receive God's grace. We are never too broken to not recognize those who are hurting. So we have to cultivate a life of reconciliation, right? It's difficult to talk about reconciliation in a world of war, right? A society of anger, right? This is what we see. Turn on television, anger. So much so that my daughter, who is 10 years old, turns to me and says, I hate that old Donald Trump. Too much anger. Well, I was trying not to affirm that. So I'm glad that she is not here with me today. But there's a lot of anger. A lot of division, right? A lot of gaps, right? A lot of hurting, right? Flint, Michigan, right? Scared to drink the water, gaps, anger, betrayal, hurt, deep pain because our society seems to be splintering. Look at our schools, right? And the reason why some of our young people are not doing well because they are impoverished. So there is a gap between them and the ability to be able to learn. Do you know that impoverished children learn 2 million less words? So reconciliation is necessary because if we don't start getting it together, people will not start getting it together. And this is why God called us the church, the place of reconciliation, right? Don't nod so quickly because I work in Louisville. And it is not always reconciled, right? I served the church for a while. I know what it's like to be the pastor in church. I didn't want your reverends go through, absolutely. Reverend, I hated your sermon this morning, it was stupid, see you next Sunday, right? But our churches are hurting, right? Our churches are hurting because our young people have not been in them. It's beautiful to see young people in church. Do you ever, when you come, do you ever say, thank God my young people are in church and responding? Because there's another gap right there. We have not been able to keep our young people focused in church. So there's a lot of gaps in our lives that we have to deal with. But the good news is this, is that it can be done. It can be addressed. That God is good. One thing I love about the rich man is so much like us, right? Now remember, this is a story. This is a cautionary tale that Jesus tells about how we should live. So there's hope for us. But one thing I love about this story is how the rich man, even in hell, thinks he's running things. Do you notice this?
Yes.
Well, God, I'm down here. Tell Lazarus to bring me a cup of water. Huh? Do you know where you are? But think about it. This is our world. People who are already living in hell are running things. corporation who are running our world into hell and to the ground are running things. People who have lost their way are running things. Countries where children are getting killed by drones because people who are living in hell are running things. So this story is about gaps, but it's also about hope. In those gaps, it's recognizing what God can do. It's recognizing that we can change. It's recognizing that all is not lost, right?
I like how this story ties in with the Exodus piece. I'm sorry, the Psalms piece, or the testing you. I love doing that. Because I don't know if we all read enough Bible. Do we read enough Bible? But I like the way it ties in with the Isaiah piece in that there is something powerful that God is looking to serve for us to eat. And it's at that table where we go to eat that we find each other, right?
When you read Scripture, what does Jesus do a lot? They eat a lot, don't they? That's why this is here, right? And the idea is that this is going to call everybody together. This is going to be the way that the gap gets bridged. So if we are going to bridge the gap in our society, guess where we need to invite people? Right? At this table, at our church, we need to invite folks who are struggling with race into this church so that they will struggle no more. For folks who are hungry, we need to invite them into this church, to this table, so they know they have something to eat. For those who are incarcerated, we may need to take the table to them so that they understand that they are not alone. Amen. And this is truly what reconciliation is. It's joining. It's taking our hands and reaching out and grabbing those who need us, right? I'm going to close with this. When I was a little kid, I was really bad. I'm just going to admit it. My mom would not deny it. And one day we were in the supermarket, and I had been really bad. I guess it was worse than normal. And I'd been knocking stuff down off the shelves, and my mom was just like, oh, this child. And so at the end of the supermarket visit, I decided I wanted something from the bubblegum machines. Now, you all remember the bubblegum machines? How many remember the... Now, some places have them, some don't, but they've had these bubblegum machines and they had stuff in them like, you know, plastic things and toys. And I wanted this little LCD watch. You remember these little things in plastic and put them on 12 o'clock, 12:01, 12 o'clock, 12:01, remember those? So I wanted this thing. It was yellow, too. I said, man, this is going to go well with my sneakers. I need to get this watch out of there. And so I asked my mother, I said, Mom, can I have 50 cents? She said, no. With your behavior, absolutely not. You can't have that, but you can't say that to me, right? So I waited till Mom wasn't looking, and I walked up to the machine, right? Stood in front of it, looked around, stuck my little hand in this thing. And I said, my hand fits. So I put my hand in. You can see my hand in the machine moving around. And I got this watch. And I got it, and I held on to it. And I held it. And I was, this watch is mine. And I went to pull my arm out, and it got stuck. Right? So you know what you do as a kid? You try to pretend nothing's wrong. Looking. My mom over there, right? Finally, somebody in the supermarket notices that my arm is stuck and panics. Oh my goodness! I'm like, no, it's okay. His arm is stuck. I'm like, oh. So everybody runs over to make sure I'm all right. They're pulling me, and my mom, like Moses, walks right through the Red Sea, through the crowd. Move! Just take your hand out of there. I said, Mom, I can't pull it out. She says, pull that hand out of there. I said, Mom, she goes, let go of the watch and pull your hand out of that machine. I let go of the watch and pull my hand out. Right? But this is why reconciliation doesn't happen, right? Because we're holding on to too much, aren't we? We're holding on to too much in our lives. We're so worried about what's going to happen to us. We're so worried about the things that we want, that we hold dear, that we can't let go and grab other people. So reconciliation is about reaching out and grabbing other people. Remember, as you read this text, and you ever read, when you read this text again, it's not about hell. It's about what's going on right now. It's not about some faraway place. It's about what's happening right now. So we remember, as God's people, that we do this,
together.
That we reach out to the community,
together.
That we feed folks who need us,
together.
That we love on folks who are hurting,
together.
That we invite people to this table.
Together.
Amen.
Please rise and let us recite together the affirmation of faith. And this is from the Belhar Confession. We believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gathers, protects, and cares for the church through world and spirit. This God has done since the beginning of the world and will do till the end. We believe in one holy, universal Christian church, the communion of saints called from the entire human family. We believe that Christ's work of reconciliation is made manifest in the church as the community of believers who have been reconciled with God and with one another. Amen. Please be seated. And now let us return our blessings to God through our gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, we present now what we have brought to you. Things that are both visible and invisible. The coins and paper represent our work and express in a clear and visible way our love and thanks. But we also bring an offering the fragile dreams and hopes that we have. These invisible gifts are what sustain our lives. Receive all that we have brought in love, O God. Amen.
Coming in this morning and realizing that you are on Hope Street. So because you live on Hope Street, live into hope, but also be the hope that people need.
Amen.
Reach into the gaps and be the hope that people need. Invite them to this table. Let them know, let the Lazaruses know that they are loved and cared for, and that angels, meaning you all, together, will guide them to God's love. And with that said, may the grace of God be with you. May the love of Jesus Christ fill you, and may you continue to know the hope and power and peace of the Holy Spirit now and always. Amen.
Amen.